Actually, I think it's a kick forwards into the right.
That's intentional runner. It's going to get there. Oh, excuse me. Look at this one.
This could be close. This could be really close.
All right, people, welcome back to the Friendly Banter podcast. We have a lot to unpack today. It's February 8th. It's cold here in Philly. Andrew, how's the weather out in Berkeley?
Berkeley weather is what you would expect, probably 65 and sunny. I just got back from Colorado last night where it was a little bit colder, but yeah, beautiful here. I know we have just you and me on the mic today. I think, Tom, we're excited to get him on next week. Turns out he's got an injury report, so he's actually inactive this week with broken ribs. So I think we'll look forward to hearing him tell us about what the hell happened to him. But yeah, in the meantime, I think you and I can just chat about what's happening in the world of golf. And then we have an interview on the back half with Katie McCarthy from Kilo Tango.
It's absolutely devastating to hear that Tom hurt his ribs as an adult who lives in New York City. Like, I just can't imagine walking around, bopping around the city with broken ribs.
Yeah, it sounds miserable. I think he was in the emergency room for like 6 hours on like a Saturday night, which is just the worst news you could ever imagine.
That's no bueno for our fearless leader at the mic, but let's all hope that Tom has a speedy recovery. And I guess we'll dive into it next week when we get him back on. But yeah, there's... Andrew went to Pebble last week, so why don't we just start with that? How was Pebble Beach? Did you get rained on? What was your favorite hole? Did you meet anyone cool?
Well, yeah, last week was the Pro-Am at Pebble Beach. It's like 2 hours away from me, so I kind of, on a whim, Wednesday night, bought tickets, and then like woke up at 4:30 on Thursday morning and drove out there like through... It was funny, like driving both there and on the way back later in the day was like miserable, like true hurricane weather, not to mention like pitch black. But the like 6 or 7 hours I spent at the course were like absolutely magical. Like the weather was perfect. It was a little bit windy. This was like the Thursday round, so not too crowded. It was really easy to like walk around. The way that Pebble does it is, you know, there's split rounds between Pebble Beach and Spyglass, and there was like a shuttle that you could take back and forth. So it was honestly more of like a nature adventure than anything else. Like I was just walking in like one of the most scenic places on the planet with a little bit of golf mixed in, and it was a great time. I would highly recommend trying to get out there if you haven't been.
Yeah, I mean, looking at like watching the coverage, as you know, we have growing up over the years, you see that, but every year you do see it, you're just amazed by how freaking cool it is. And I was actually there earlier or last year, not at Pebble, but I was at Carmel, which is like the town next to it, and the beach, the Carmel Beach, like you can walk up to Pebble, and that was like pretty cool to see just like the way it kind of the coastline bends into it. But it's one of the cooler courses or tournaments to watch on TV for sure. I can't even imagine being there.
Yeah, it was sick. And then the tournament itself kind of ended up being a drag where, you know, it was canceled after Saturday and there was no golf on Sunday, which was too bad. I think it ended up being like just a bad turn, like just a bad break for the PGA Tour, where like they had put all of this effort into like revamping Pebble Beach with like fewer celebrities and really way more of an emphasis on the golf. And to have that cut short after 54 holes was kind of tough, but it was cool to see Wyndham go low on 60 and break the course record to win it. So it was at least sort of a decent storyline to wrap up the week.
Yeah. It's like a weird, you had great weather to start. So it's just such a shame that the rain like kind of ruined the end of it. But I think the bigger story of California just getting crushed with rain right now in general is just tough to watch. It. Yeah.
The atmospheric river was in full effect, but I was gone for like the last 6 days, basically from Thursday to Wednesday. And I think it's totally fine here now. So whatever flooding there was seems to have subsided.
Yeah. I mostly have just seen whatever the news is covering and headlines of it, but it doesn't look too great. So we at Banty send our thoughts and prayers out to the California people affected. But we can move on. We got a big tournament this week that, as we say, there's a party in the desert and you're invited on Banty to talk about it, post about it, chirp about it, all the above. What are you most excited about this weekend watching the Waste Management?
Yeah, it is a big weekend. The Waste Management, sort of the same as last week, I actually looked into tickets for Phoenix just to see if it was worth, like, I'm kind of like, it's a bummer not to be there because it's so perfect for Banty, like the definition of a place where we should have a huge presence. And I think we're going to have to get there next year. But I don't know. It's such a party. Like, you can even tell on screen that people there are having so much fun. I'm sure it's even crazier in person. So we'll see. I think it's a pretty decent field. Like, we're recording this now sort of Thursday afternoon. So a decent, number of the players are actually sort of like on the back nine of their round of day one. So it seems to be going well. I think it's cool that it's sort of during Super Bowl week. Like, I can't decide if I'd rather be in Las Vegas or Phoenix this week, but either way, I think people are having a lot of fun.
It's definitely a fun week all around out west. I agree. Banty definitely needs to get there. So we'll be there next year, but like you said, it's perfect for the camaraderie that tournament brings to the tour and to the game of golf is exactly what, we'd love to see on the app in a fun way. But the Super Bowl, that's also, I think I'd rather be at the golf than the Super Bowl this week. Yeah. I don't really care for the Chiefs or the Niners. It's too hard. So
no, I mean, honestly, it's more about, I think just Vegas is probably a madhouse right now. Like, so many different, like, corporate sponsors and everyone in sports is there. Like, it's probably just a cool vibe.
It's either like super cool or like a ginormous night.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a little bit overwhelming, but
like when we were there, we were there during TwitchCon weekend, right?
Yeah.
And like even that, like it was just like, it's like walking around Times Square, but the entire city is Times Square.
I think I'm sort of down for that, like a couple times a year, just embrace the fact that it's going to be a little bit of a madhouse and sort of spend 48 hours and then get out of there.
Yeah. No, Vegas, I liked it. That was my first time there. And it's really just like, it's what you put in, you get out. It's like, you don't have to go super hard in the paint and like go gambling and to clubs. Like, we didn't go to clubs, so I didn't like leave incredibly exhausted, but it was just like, it's a madhouse, but it was great. And I definitely could see Banty. We gotta get like an outing out there. There's great golf courses.
Yeah. So
and it's really easy to get to.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. Last night, I guess there was this like good, like YouTuber influencer golf outing, which is in Vegas. Those things are so interesting. I think it was like nine holes, like in the dark, just like a very different version of a golf event. But I didn't think there was like a crowd out there watching them. So definitely stuff that we have to get more involved in.
Yeah, I saw our guy Hung was out there at the event and was posting about it. So I'll have to get the scoop from him. But so we have a great weekend ahead out in the desert, Super Bowl weekend as well. So I guess who do you have for the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I've basically been flipping back and forth every day. When the line first came out, it was like, I think 49ers -3, and I was going to like hammer the Chiefs. I think since then it's moved a little bit closer to like Niners -1. And the vibe seems to be no one's going to be able to stop Christian McCaffrey. That sort of seems to be the way that the Niners could win, is if they just like run it down the Chiefs' throat. That being said, like I'd be very scared to bet against Patrick Mahomes right now.
Yeah. Not to mention,
like Taylor Swift and whatever magic power she's bringing to the game.
I don't think people are accounting enough for the magic powers that T-Swift does bring.
Yeah.
It's remarkable how just swept up she is and just all the energy that's powered behind it, especially if she's actually making it to the game from Japan.
I think she is. I think the last
time it's going to be like the greatest entrance. It's going to be like when Zac Efron slid into the Greatest Showman final scene type energy.
I have not seen that movie, but I believe it.
Yeah, it was electric. But I guess we can move on to Kilo Tango. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the listeners can expect in your interview with one of Banty's fan favorites, Katie McCarthy?
Yeah, so Kilo Tango, Katie, I don't think we met her last year at the PGA show, but I remember seeing their booth and thinking that it was like so, one, just like very legit. And it turns out that she was basically like a one-woman show. I think everything there was like the one sample she had of like that one SKU. So she's totally running this as like a startup, and it's been awesome to see. Like, I've kind of been following them the past year, and they're crushing it. So Kilo Tango is a woman's golf apparel line. I think their saying, which I love, is, you know, from the course to cocktails. So it's anything from polos to dresses, kind of really what you would want to be able to wear on the golf course. And then, you know, at the 19th hole afterwards, she came on for the pod for about 30 minutes, and we interviewed her about really like the founding story, like how she came up with Kilo Tango. Actually, like a very similar founding story to Banty, where it was like during COVID, there wasn't a lot going on. People were playing golf for the first time, or they were getting back into it. And I think that was just super cool to hear her journey, and then sort of what they're focused on going forward, just in terms of like building out the brand, reaching a bigger customer and a bigger audience base. And she was great. So we're excited to hopefully like figure out an event with her. I think it'd be cool to figure out like how can Banty sponsor some version of a women's outing through Kilo Tango. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, it was a good interview.
I think that this is going to be one of our, I think, best interviews yet, because her story really is just like such a hustle and grind story that, you know, it can inspire anyone. It, you know, we chatted with her a couple weeks back, actually, I guess a couple months, but like you would never think this is a one person show if you go to their website, because it's just so legit and it has a killer name, Kilo Tango. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah, and she gets into that. So I won't spoil it, but there is a cool founding story to the name Kilo Tango. She basically has a full-time job, so she's been working on this like nights and weekends. And she even like flew out to LA when they were doing the original designs and met with all of these manufacturers, like looked at the different samples. It's like truly every part of making the sausage, so to speak, like she's been there for, and sort of is very involved with the final product, which I think you can really tell both just from like shopping on the website and then, you know, what you end up getting.
Yeah. No, I think this will be a good one, and we're excited to put it out there and, you know, get Kilo Tango in front of some of the ladies that tune in.
Totally. And with that, I should mention Kilo Tango is now one of the exclusive partners of the Banty Golf Club. So Banty Golf Club members can, you know, inside of the Banty app, go to the Banty Golf Club section. That's actually available through your profile now, and you'll see a special discount for 10% off for all BGC members at kilotango.com. Actually, kilotango.golf.
Kilotango.golf.
Correct.
That's pretty cool. We should be bantygolf.golf.
Well, it's funny. We were on the pod recording, and I was like, I think we are banty.golf. But then I remembered we're bantygolf.com, but I had birdiebook.golf was actually the URL for birdiebook back in the day. So it was cool that you grabbed that.
All right. Well, I guess we could just quickly end with who you actually picking for the bowl. Who you got?
I'll take the Chiefs.
All right. You got the Chiefs. I guess I'll take the Niners then.
Okay.
Go CMC, I guess.
All right, welcome back to Friendly Banter. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Katie McCarthy, the founder and CEO of Kilo Tango. Katie, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Andrew?
Good. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. I'm really excited to chat. I know we kind of got, coincidentally, we're at the PGA show together last year at the beginning of 2023. And I think I've sort of followed Kilo Tango ever since. And I think we got connected last fall. But for people who don't know, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about Kilo Tango and what you're up to there?
Yeah. So Kilo Tango is a women's golf apparel line. So we have everything from dresses to skirts and tops and sweaters. And then we do a bunch of accessories too. You might recognize our logo. It's like a little line with a flag through it. Because we like to say we're the course to cocktail collection. So the logo is like a little green, but it's also like a lime that you'd get on your cocktail with the little skewer thing through it. So I don't know what that thing is called, but in our case, it's the pin. So, okay. But yeah, so we started about like 2 years ago, going on year three.
Amazing. We'll come back to the founding story. I know I want to dig in there, but I guess just like thinking about golf, that's kind of why we're all here, right? So we're a golf company, you're a golf apparel company. Like, what is your relationship with the game of golf and both like throughout your life and even kind of up until today?
Yeah, I guess I'll start from the beginning. So I started playing at age 5. My parents put me in junior golf at my grandparents' club, and I always liked it, liked playing with my family, started doing junior golf and things, but I played a lot of sports growing up. And then I played in high school and then slowly weeded out the other sports and eventually played in college. I played D3, so I wouldn't encourage you to look up my scores at all. Those were the worst years of my golf scores, but probably my favorite years playing the sport. I loved playing D3. You know, you get to play your favorite sport with your favorite people and also have a full college life and everything. So that was always fun. And then graduated college, moved to Washington, D.C., kept playing leisurely, and then eventually found myself creating a golf brand 2 years later. And then back in golf business, but in a different kind of,
I love it. This is basically becoming a D3 golf podcast. I played Division III, and so did Tom. And it is so true. It's like the best of both worlds, where it's really not too competitive, but you still get to be out there and play a lot of golf. So
you
have like stories from those years.
It's like how they say B students run the world. It's like D3 golfers run the golf industry. I just made that up, but I think that's going to stick. So.
I love that. Okay, cool. And then, so Kilo Tango, you mentioned 2 years ago, you kind of started this company. Like, what was the inspiration? How did it get started? Walk us through that journey.
Yeah. So it was March of 2021 when things really kicked off. Thought of the idea when talking with some friends at their apartment, sitting on a bar stool. And I'm just the type of person that when I say I'm going to do something, I got to do it. So when I say the idea happened in March of that year, the business started that night and I just got addicted to it. The idea really came from a lot of my girlfriends texting me that had no interest in golf all these years, from high school, from college. And they would text me and say, hey, you know, haven't talked in a while, but I have a golf event coming up or I have a golf date. What do I wear? And I would send them like, you know, you'd have to scroll with your thumb multiple times. It would be such a long text back because I would ask so many questions like, is it a private club? Is it public? Who's going to be there? Are you playing 9 and then getting drinks? Or are you just playing 18 and it's like serious golf kind of thing? Or, you know, I'd have all these follow-up questions. And usually I wasn't even recommending a true golf brand. I'd recommend, oh, you have to get this extra long skirt from this brand, but then get this polo from there, but don't buy their bottoms. And I'd go all the way around. And I thought, why not just create the brand myself and solve this problem? I have the customers in my phone. They're texting me. I have former teammates that have told me all their fit problems and preferences. And I should just go out and do this now. And at the time, golf was booming. I mean, everyone knows after COVID, everyone was picking it up. So it was just the right time to do it.
Yeah, it's so funny. So like Billy, my co-founder, started Banty kind of the same way, just like one night during COVID. I had actually previously started sort of more similar to Kilo Tango, like an online direct-to-consumer golf brand also during COVID that was, it was called Birdie Book, but it was like one day I had the idea. And then a few months later, I ended up merging it with Banty. But
yeah,
it was just like this fire around like, why wouldn't I go build this right now? So What were like the first steps you took to get started? Was it like set up a Shopify website, or like what was like the roadmap of building it?
So first steps, I was looking up anywhere, like, how do I make clothing? I mean, I didn't go to fashion school. I had no idea how it worked. I was like a management major in college, so I always loved entrepreneurship, but it was just researching everything from the ground up. A few months later, family and friends knew that I was going to work on this. So I had like a basic website that just had information because people wanted to know where to go. It wasn't until maybe, I don't know, 9 months later that I had a Shopify. But I found some people out in Los Angeles that had made samples for brands that I knew and respected, like Jonathan Simkai. They make great women's clothes. They did samples for Serena and Lily, which is like a really great home brand. And I trusted them with their clientele and the price ranges that they were at. I sent them all my vision boards. I designed with them, and then I flew out there and did everything hands-on with them too. At the time I had my day job, so I was glad they were in LA because the time difference was perfect. Like I'd log off at 5 and get straight to Kilo Tango the rest of the night. So it was fun having like meetings lined up, you know, that was like really exciting for me. So
yeah, that's so cool. So you flew out to LA to like look at the materials and everything?
Yeah. Yeah. So they would send me fabrics that came in from Italy, and you get a fabric that's like this big, and you probably know this from doing clothing too. And I did it all from scratch, but they give you a clothing thing literally this big, and you have to judge a whole garment based on that. And you might just like the feeling of it and think like, oh, this is so great. And you don't really factor in the stretch and all these things. So there's a lot to consider. But once the fabrics were all decided and everything, and we had some sketches, I flew out to Los Angeles and we got a fit model who's like essentially the perfect Kilo Tango fit, right? She's like the typical customer. Yep. And did everything to tailor everything to her fit, essentially. And the swing dress is our bestseller now. And that was like the problem child in the fitting. I ripped that thing apart. Like I literally took scissors. I cut part of it. I had the girl like holding all over the place, like switching the fit of it. The rest of it was smooth sailing. But the thing that was the biggest problem ended up being the biggest success. So that was that in LA.
So what was how long did it take from, I guess, like the initial idea and then like messing around with the samples to like your first sale or like launching sort of online?
Yeah. So it was March, started the ideas. Designs were probably coming around May, June. Fabrics were decided, flew out to Los Angeles, September 21st. I remember that because the song September by Earth, Wind & Fire. I listened to it so many times on that flight because I was so excited. But that was then. And then debuted the samples in January. So it was all in all a 9-month cycle. So it is my baby. I went to the PGA show just for samples, which is kind of crazy. But I wanted to look like a luxury brand, and you have to ask for more in the back and one of everything. So
I think it worked because...
Yeah.
I remember seeing your booth at the PGA show, and it did not look like it was just samples. Like it was very legit, very well done. And I think you guys crushed it there, right? Like you got a lot of good press coming out of it. Like what was that experience like?
Oh, it was awesome. And I think that's just reflective of the golf industry in general. Like they're so excited to see something new and fresh just across the board, whether it's like technology or anything, or clothing, anything. But I was really fortunate to have that. I think also with my age, you know, I came to the PGA show first time, I think I was 22, maybe 23 at the time, but I was pretty young. So I got a lot of like Golf Channel exposure and things like that. I got to meet people from all over the industry, other founders and things. But the sales really blew me away. Because you're walking into that, you're like, are people going to take me seriously? Like the factories hardly took me seriously. And it was just really exciting to see people like get excited about it too. And I was really grateful for that.
Yeah, totally. All right, before I forget, the name Kilo Tango, how did you come up with it? What does it mean? What's the story there?
This is one of my favorite questions because a lot of people don't know. Yeah. But see, my name is Katie, and my nickname, as if Katie's not short enough, people would call me KT, K and a T. And so my coaches in college would tell me, just play KT golf. And that was just when I was out there having fun. There was like a pep in my step. if I had a bad shot, I wasn't really reacting. If I had a good shot, I might have like a little smirk, but I'm not really reacting. It was just like, I'm happy to be there. I love the game. So be it. So that was KT Golf. And when it came around to naming the brand, that came in my mind, but I was like, that would be really tacky to name it after myself. Even if people don't know the reference, it would be kind of weird. Yeah. And I'm thinking through all these other golf terms. Birdie was taken by like at least 20 people at that point. I mean, there's so many, and there's only so many good golf words. Like there's like birdie, yeah, eagle, par, and then the rest are all like bunker, divot, like everything bad. So I came back around the, you know, the way with the names and stuff. And I was talking to my brother on the phone at the time, and he was at officer candidate school in Quantico. He's in the Marine Corps. And now he's an officer, he's a pilot and all that cool stuff. But I said Kilo Tango, like just talking about myself. I was making a joke or something. And I just said, wait, that's the name. And Ryan's like, I think you just got it. And so it's kind of like a nod to Ryan being a pilot in the Marines and then yeah, with Kilo Tango KT. And I also thought it could evolve to be wider than golf, maybe. Maybe it would evolve into pickleball or tennis. Maybe if we did a collaboration with a men's line, Kilo Tango wouldn't sound such a overly feminine name, even though we are a very feminine brand. So yeah, some people said it didn't mean anything to them, but I would always ask, well, what does Lululemon mean to you? So yeah. So yeah, that's the name.
I love it. It rolls off the tongue too. It's like fun to say. It is true. There's way too many golf brands with the word like birdie in it. So yeah, you don't stand out at all. So having something that like isn't so obviously golf related, the same is true for Banty. Like, it sort of like has these weird nods towards like being like a golf affiliated, but the fact that it doesn't just say the word like birdie in it, I think actually bodes really well for us, and I assume for you as well.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. When you said Banty, I was like, oh, completely, because it's banter, and you could tell it's a social app, but then T is still golf. I mean, was it easy to come up with the name?
Yeah. So there's a funny story there, actually, which I just found out recently. But so my co-founder, again, his name is Billy Annesley. So his initials is like B-A-N. For like Banty, and then the TEE is obviously a play on both like banter and like a golf tee.
Yeah,
so it all came together really well, and I feel like it's one of our best assets. It's just the name.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's memorable. It's easy to say. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Okay, cool. And then you mentioned it's been about 2.5 years, sort of since you started. Like, I imagine there's like the glow, the after, like the hangover of the PGA show. And then you sort of like get to real life. You're running this business on the side of your real job. Like, what has that been like? How do you think about spending your time on Kilo Tango today? Just what does it look like today?
Yeah. And funny you mentioned that too, because like my day job has always been so opposite of Kilo Tango. Yeah. And I think some people are surprised to hear that, but I think that's actually the reality of a lot of people in the golf business. Like, because there's a lot of people getting started. But to me, I view it as like a gift, you know. It's like it sounds cheesy, but it is my creative outlet, you know. Even like some days are really hard, and some days I feel like I'm over my head and I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, I have to learn everything as I go. I didn't just wake up and know how to run a brand. But that said, every time I learn, and as a business owner, like the work you put in, you get right out of it and you get to learn it hands on, and the business depends on my effort at this stage. So, so that's really the motivator behind it. But I love every minute of it, but it would be silly to say it's just sunshines and rainbows all the time. Like, there's a lot of figuring it out.
Yeah. And you're a one woman team, or like, how is the work?
Yeah. Yeah. So my mom is my shipper and receiver. And I like that at this stage. And sometimes I debate doing like drop shipping and stuff and putting it in a warehouse. But at this stage, I still love the handwritten notes. You know, I love the quality that we can control with packing the orders ourselves. Or if I see it's a PGA tour player's wife, I can make sure that package is extra special, or like, you know, throw in a hat or something. I like that personal touch for us right now. So yeah, so my mom is my one employee. And then I also had a consultant that helped me along the way, that previously worked in like big luxury fashion brands. And she helped me with the manufacturing and the operations there. And then yeah, I did have an intern. I should give her credit too. Her name's Pippa. She's a college golfer too.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. We have a bunch of interns as well. they make everything right on time.
Exactly.
So the like it sounds like for shipping, so do you manage your own inventory then? Like you're the one, every time an order comes in, like you're printing out the shipping label, putting it on the box?
Yeah. Yes. So the only change to that is going to be, and this is like a good advertisement for them, but we're going to be on an online retailer called The Par Club. And that's the first time that we're not going to totally manage our inventory. Like we'll be synced with their website and stuff, and they'll have orders come in their website and we'll fulfill it still. But that's the first time I've been dealing with something other than just my website, my orders, you know, easy peasy.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. And in terms of, you know, like your catalog, like, I guess like how many unique products are you selling now? And then like, how do you think about expanding that or scaling it?
Gosh, I think we have like 47 right now. I don't think that's including accessories, but in terms of expanding it, I think our polos, I'm a little biased, but I think they're the perfect fit. Don't see any need to change it. I already have like two versions of it. I can dive into that another time, but I really want to expand the line of dresses. I have a lot of like designs up my sleeve that I want to dig into and get out there. But we're made in the USA, so it's very pricey to do those kind of styles that I'm thinking of. But yeah. I hope to get there and kind of offer something different in the golf space there. So,
yeah. All right. Well, on that note, like, let's talk about who your customer is, like the dresses and the polos, like, we'll link to them and people will be able to see what they look like. But how would you describe sort of like the fit, who it's for, and how you feel like, you know, how do you talk to your customers?
Yeah, I would say our customer is in their 20s to 30s. We do see a lot of customers in their 40s too. They're sick of what's out there in the golf space. They're sick of rainbow cheetah prints. They don't understand why that's even on the golf course. They want an athletic fit. They want to be feminine, and they're planning on playing nine and staying after a long time for cocktails in the patio. And that's kind of their vibe. They're usually the social golfer. You know, I myself was a competitive golfer, but now I love the social side of the game. I love how many people play. I don't care if they're good, new to golf, whatever it is. It's just been a good, fun community. So I think my customer really enjoys that too. It's a higher price point, so I think they probably have been exposed to golf for maybe a little bit more, maybe when they were little. But yeah, so we'll see.
Awesome. And in terms of like finding them, like what has worked so far? And then like, what are you still working on in terms of like building the community that, so that Kilo Tango resonates with that audience?
Yeah, I think at least the way I saw it and the way I was more familiar with was starting with the PGA show, like launching there, because I knew what kind of clubs the brand should be at. I remember saying, if Kilo Tango sold at Baker's Bay, I have made it. And that was like, that was the fifth account I landed, and I was over the moon. Yeah. And so that to me was the way to get it out there with places that I was familiar with. It was like accessible for me just to talk to those clubs. And then my hope was Baker's Bay, those golfers usually are playing other courses. They're playing other Discoveryland properties, or they're visiting. Hopefully they'll wear it at their club, and then from word of mouth. So that was the way I set it up. From there, I think most of my referrals, like direct to consumer orders, have been word of mouth. I remember in our first year, like 67% of customers were return customers. And so my hope is if people are pretty loyal, they would share the brand too. But our advertising has been very organic. You'll see our social media following is very, very tiny, and that's because it's all organic.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, I think once you get into like playing the advertising game, it gets way harder. So like the longer you can go helping people to share with their friends is actually like a great thing. But I guess with that in mind, how do you think about scaling, or like, do you have a vision for where Kilo Tango goes from here? Or like, what are you working on sort of in 2024, so to speak?
My goal, and I know this sounds ambitious, my goal has always been to be the go-to like first golf brand you think of for women. I think a lot of golf brands are both men's and women's, which is great, but I want to be that really female-centric, high-end golf brand that really satisfied the needs that I talked about before with fit and everything. And my hope with that is growing the product line. But someone told me early on that they were very successful in the fashion industry. And they told me to keep my product line narrow for longer than I think I should, because I need to be known for my products. Like I need to have a name product, like a top of mind, that's Kilo Tango. I recognize it. Like that's what they're known for. And I think I need to stick to that and be a little bit more patient, but still growing those products, getting them in more, you know, more spots, growing more consumer marketing, all that stuff, and then growing the line. So that's kind of like the 10-year plan, but.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll keep an eye out on that for this year and beyond. So last question on Kilo Tango is like, what has been the most fun part or like learning about sort of building this brand over the past couple of years?
I think the funnest part is probably seeing customers wearing it, like getting photos on Instagram, or people would tag Kilo Tango. Or there was a time when my grandparents were in Florida and they sent me a picture from the patio and they're like, I think that girl's wearing Kilo Tango. And they go down to the girl, they're like, oh, where did you get your dress? And she's going on and on. She's like, I love this brand. I bought it at Baker's Bay, blah, blah, blah. And they had to like stop her, like, oh, that's our granddaughter's brand. No and way. It turned out that she's engaged to a very well-known PGA player. And that was like, I mean, it was like the icing on the cake was just like very cool that she's wearing it. I had nothing to do with that purchase, but she's wearing it at a great place. She's got a very cool golf experience too. So it was really cool to see that.
That's huge. Such a cool story. Yeah. What about like the hardest part or like the biggest challenge, the biggest learning?
I think the biggest challenge now might be sticking out in the golf space. Like I came out saying we're the Course to Cocktail Collection. And that was like my first thought when I was even had the idea that night in March of 2021. That was like my first idea. And I've seen that phrase kind of get adopted by a lot of brands, and I don't blame them. I think that's like a universal feeling we're all after. And it's a good thing for the golf space, but it's definitely sticking out with that and not seeming like I might be copying someone else's mantra. But I think our clothing does that for us though. So at least that's good. But
yeah, totally. I think you're totally like not alone in that. We have the same problem with Banty where it's like, I think a lot of people were coming up with golf business ideas during COVID. So it is like, how do we stand out? How do we differentiate ourselves from other either companies or products? And to your point, I think it's kind of just like execution and letting like the product or the, in this case, the apparel like speak for itself.
Right. Yeah. And at the beginning, everyone's like, former college golfer starts her golf brand. I was like, this cute story. And now I'm 25 and I know that's still young, but I'm like, how long is that going to be the cute story? Like, I got to get a new little, like, little add-on to that. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I'm super biased, but I think what you're doing is super cool and totally resonates with what we're doing at Banty. Like it's so focused on the cool things about golf, like the social aspect, sort of not taking it too seriously and having just as much fun off the course as on it. But with that in mind, how do you think about like why Banty is an attractive place for you to sort of market Kilo Tango and like what excites you about what we're building?
I think it's an extension of the growth of women's golf too. I've noticed women are sharing more when they're playing. There's all these women's golf groups coming up. And when I saw Banty come up, I immediately thought like, oh, these groups are fully going to adopt that. And I love seeing when people are teeing off too. Because if I haven't been golfing for a little bit, it makes me kind of like, I got to get out there again. Like this is a little embarrassing that I haven't posted on Banty. But I love seeing everything on there too. I mean, it's just a very happy, welcoming, social side of golf. Whereas before, I think the only technology for that was like going into gin in the pro shop and entering my handicap. And like, it was just not as fun of an experience or as happy of an update. So I think it'll be really fun to use, especially as spring and summer rolls around and more people are out there playing. I'll definitely be getting my girlfriends into it too.
I love that. Well, with that in mind, where can people find you both on Banty? What should people look up to find Katie on Banty? And then Kilo Tango generally, where can people find you and where can they buy some dresses?
Yeah. So on Banty, we're Kilo Tango. And then on Instagram, we're kilotango.golf, which matches our website. So we're not .com, we're .golf because we're a golf brand.
All right. Well, Katie, thank you so much for coming on. It's been awesome to chat. We'll link to Kilo Tango and everything else kind of in the notes, but thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. Swing it like a boomerang, a tank, come around, round, wanna hit the top, top. Ooh,
Chip-pop, you know what's the big whoop? When I play my game, and then I make my mama proud.
Smash, bang, you gotta hit the ball far. Then the crowd goes, then you hear the ooh-da-la-la-la-la. Tweet, tweet, I want my birthdays all day long. Let the bogeys go and say, hey.
Ooh-da-la-la-la-la, hey.
You wanna play with the pros now?
Hey.
You gotta